1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. 1017 The Truth and Empower are teaming up for the Truth Host Media Bootcamp, a four-session experience designed to sharpen our host voices, interviewing skills, and media presence, building stronger voices and stronger community powered by Empower in 1017 The Truth. Huge shout out to Brother David Muhammad and Aziz. Man, we had the pleasure of going to the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club last week and sitting down and doing some activities with the youth. They were able to do commercials. They were singing, doing podcast segments, all of that type of stuff. So cool. So dope. If you guys could see the hope in their eyes, right? Amazing. So make sure if you have any youth to sign them up. It is free of charge. It will be at the Mary Ryan Boys and Girls Club Tuesdays and Thursdays this week and then next week as well. For six weeks, 6 days, 6 p.m. I'm sorry. I was trying to get the details from me. 6 p.m. So today we are talking about mental health, Mental Health Mondays. Again, there is so much happening. We always have a great time on Tapped In, but we gotta check in mentally first, right? Have to check in mentally before we went to break. I was telling you, as a parent, it's okay to apologize to your child, right? Because it teaches them accountability, humility, emotional language. And then most importantly, it teaches them that making a mistake doesn't mean that the relationship is destroyed. That is something that we have to become accustomed to doing. We've all grown up in a generation where you couldn't question your parents. You didn't have a voice, really. Whatever they said went was no apologizing to no child. But we are in different times. We have a chance to break those generational curses, right? Now, obviously, a child needs to stay in their place. However, when you are wrong, if you come in the house and you mad at something at work and you take it out on your child, they know that. They can feel that. You need to go back and apologize to them and watch how quickly they'll apologize to you when they are in the wrong, right? This actually brings me into the final hour. We've talked about workplace mental health. We've talked about parenthood mental health, right? I want to talk about places where our minds create the most stories, and that's friendships and relationships. Why did her energy change? Why hasn't he called me? Why did they like that post? Why they didn't invite me? I'm a firm believer, if I ain't invited, I ain't going anyways. Hello. What did that message mean? Are they jealous? Are they pulling away? Are they mad? Are they hiding something? And suddenly we are mentally exhausted from having conversations that never happened. Hey, DeLulu. Hey, boo-boo DeLulu. You're delusional. Stop creating false narratives inside of your head that do not exist. I don't care what it is. And ladies, we good for that when it comes to relationships. You make up whatever you want because you need an answer right there in that moment. Stop doing that, right? Stop doing that. Everybody talks about romantic heartbreak, friendship heartbreak, and how it can tear you up and make you, you know, break you down, especially for adult friends. This is somebody that knows your history. They know how you survive. They know your family. They know who hurt you. They know your darkest secrets. They know your insecurities. They've seen you broke. They've seen you up. They've seen you winning. All of the above. They've seen you looking crazy and ugly at the same time, right? That is still a form of intimacy. So when something changes in that friendship, it can hurt a little bit different versus someone that you don't have that type of rapport or relationship with. And sometimes nothing dramatic happened. You just started noticing different things, right? You tell them something good and the energy changes. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You call with bad news, but they all in your business. Oh, for real? What time? Where? When? Who? How? Let it be something good. Then it's like, okay. Oh, that's dope. I like that little business you just started up. Baby, ain't nothing little over here but my height. And I'm really 6'4". Hello. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They got to add the little on there to try to make you feel a way. And you can't put your finger on it. You don't understand why. You were a little too excited to help me through the bad news. Where were you when I got that promotion? You started noticing. Or maybe every conversation ends up being about them. They call 2 hours about their life at the end. Girl, how you doing? You say, actually, I've been, oh, wait, I got to call you back. And then you realize you're not a friend. You're a customer service representative who is supporting someone through their mental health issues, right? I had to check myself as a friend with that as well, because I can be very subjective when I'm going through something and my friends and my sister know, right? So I have to check. I can go on. Let me tell you what happened. But it's not to gossip and it's not to tell. It's really to help have them help me work through it, because those who are close to me know that if I can't say what I feel, it might be a bad day for everybody. That's what I learned in therapy years ago. It's okay to express how you feel. You just got to watch how you express it. And when I started doing that, I started to realize that, dang, I'm overpowering the relationship. I'm overpowering the conversation. I didn't even allow my friend to tell me or my sister how they were doing because I was so stuck on what I got going on. And we mean no harm, because you all have that one or two people in your life that you can call and talk to about whatever, and they're going to be receptive and non-judgmental. But it does not give you permission to dismiss what they are going through. It does not give you permission to control the entire friendship or conversation. Don't be the customer service representative friend that only call when it's about you, and then you got to go when they get to talking about them, right? Or maybe even the friendship isn't toxic. It's just that you've changed and y'all have grown apart. That's the thing, too. There are people that I don't hang with because my conversations are different these days. I don't have the same conversation that I did when we once were tight, because I'm not the same person. And sometimes that is okay. It does not mean that the love is lost. It just means that, hey, I've grown, right? And I'm sure you have too. And we can mutually respect that. But that does not require the same access that it once did. Here's the mistake. We think every change relationship requires a villain, and it does not. Sometimes nobody is the bad guy. Sometimes the seasons just change. Sometimes the capacity has changed, and sometimes the values has changed. Sometimes the proximity has changed as well. I most definitely believe in that. Sometimes the friendship needs a different shape. This is why I always say everybody doesn't have to be cut off. Some people just need to be repositioned. Let me tell you, I learned this. Right? Let me tell y'all what I learned. I learned how to not cut people off and just reposition them. It's like playing chess. I was on the chess team at Sammy Morris Middle School in sixth grade. And that's when I started playing chess. That's when I learned chess and began to play it afterwards. And the interesting thing about chess is that at any given time, the positions can change. It's all about strategy, right? Everybody don't have to be cut off. Sometimes you just have to change the position. Sometimes you got to reposition that person. Maybe they have front row tickets to your series, because our life is a series. Now they ass got balcony seats. Sometimes you got to put them on a third level in the nosebleeds. And that's okay. That don't mean you dislike them. It just means that yesterday's price is not today's price. And we're not just talking financially, right? We're talking access. You don't get backstage access to me no more. And that's okay. Because access should correspond to trust. And that's healthy. So try this friendship audit. Don't judge a friend off one bad day. So don't do it based off of that. But look for patterns. Ask, how do I feel before I interact with this person? Listen to me. I'm telling you, because we all have people in our lives, or have had people in our lives at a certain period of time, that we knew we can feel and discern that they wasn't right for us, but we also can feel the love there as well. And now we're conflicted. We don't know which one to go. It's a love-hate relationship. They call it frenemies. How do you feel? Do you get excited? Are you anxious? Are you guarded? Are you drained? Then how do I feel while I'm with them? Can I be by myself? Am I editing everything? Do I feel like I'm performing? Do I feel safe telling the truth? Then how do I, you begin to ask yourself, how do I consistently feel afterwards? Am I energized? Am I loved? Am I seen or confused? Am I drained, insecure, or agitated? Pay attention to the actions of how you feel when you are in the company of someone who is considered to be your friend. Your discernment ain't never going to steer you wrong, and it won't lie to you. Oftentimes, we see the red flags in friendships and relationships, and we still go and ride the roller coaster because that's what we're used to. We talked about this as well, entertaining chaos and confusion. Notice I said consistently, though. One difficult conversation doesn't define a friendship. Healthy friendships have conflict. Sometimes your friends should challenge you. If everybody around you agrees with everything you do, baby, you don't have no friends. You have an audience. My real friends is going to say, Jazz, I love you, but you dog wrong. You know you wrong, right? So don't confuse accountability with jealousy. Because if your friend can't disagree with you without being accused of secretly competing, that's not healthy for neither one of y'all. We need people who can tell us the truth. Shout out to Biko Baker. I've known Biko for many years. And one thing I know about Biko, he going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. One thing I know about Ray Nitty, he going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. One thing I know about Demetrius Harper, a.k.a. Meech, is that he's going to tell you the truth whether you want to know it or not. And some of y'all got too many yes men around y'all, and that's why y'all out here acting a fool when you run into genuine people, because you don't know how to properly be a friend. You don't know how to be a friend, and that's the reality. Let's finish this conversation when we come back. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Today is Mental Health Monday. We are talking about mental health in the workplace, motherhood, fatherhood, relationships, friendships, all of the above. And I know I'm about to step on some toes a little bit with this one, mine is included. But let's say the person you are talking to sends okay. That message, A-K-O-K-A-Y. And your brain says interesting, right? Normally, he says, okay, babe. Today, he just saying, okay, period, no emoji. Oh, so now you are looking at previous text message, right? Last Tuesday, he said, okay, with the triple Y, right? Today, he just giving me a okay. Now you are comparing historical okay patterns. Do you hear how crazy that sounds? We have become forensic analysis over relationships. And social media makes it worse. They didn't answer, but they posted. I'm good for that. I promise you I am. Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you. If I'm talking to somebody and you don't answer the phone, but I see you post on social media, you better believe I'm going to hold you accountable. Because if you got time to post on social media, you have time to respond to me, right? Now you sitting there like, they didn't answer, but they liked my post. They didn't answer, but the green dot is on. It says that they're active. Now your nervous system is reacting to digital breadcrumbs. And sometimes there is useful information and patterns. Absolutely. If somebody continuously ignores you while remaining active everywhere else, that should tell you something. But here's the key. Information does not require obsession. You can notice, you can ask, you can make a decision. What were you trying to stop at the 12 o'clock hour of your internal investigation? Here's some exercises, right? Create three columns. Column one, what I know. List only facts. They haven't been responding since noon. That's a fact, right? What am I? I'm assuming this is column two. They are mad. They lost interest. They are with somebody else. They are purposely ignoring me. These are all assumptions. Possibility, absolutely. Proven, not at all. Column three. What can you actually do about it? I can wait. I can ask later. I can observe the pattern. I can decide what communication standard I need. I can move on if the behavior consistently doesn't meet my needs. You see how those three columns brought the power back to you? Because overthinking is how you lose your power. And here's where I want to differentiate intuition from anxiety. Intuition often feels like something is different. Pay attention. Anxiety says something is different. Figure it out now or you are in danger. That is the difference. Intuition can tolerate observation. Anxiety depends on demanding immediate certainty. All of us are walking around here anxious because we all want a microwave answer, right? And relationships do not always offer immediate certainty. That's hard. Some of us hate uncertainty more than we hate bad news. We will rather hear, I don't want you, than to sit in, I don't know where this is going. I'm going to be honest with you. I am one of those people. Tell me. You can tell me you don't want me. I want to hear that. I don't want to be left with the uncertainty, right? And an imagination can be brutal because it leaves uncertainty, right? Uncertainty leaves room for imagination. So sometimes mental health and relationships means building tolerance for uncertainty, meaning I don't know yet and I'm still okay. I don't have the answers today and I'm still okay. I haven't received closure, but guess what? I'm still okay. That doesn't mean that I tolerate the behavior, right? Yes, do I want clarity about this? Absolutely, because healthy communication matters. But while I'm waiting for that information, I don't have to emotionally destroy myself trying to predict whatever it is. Faith and certainty are not the same thing. And the reason why I say that is because, again, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned bringing the spiritual side for those who are spiritual, not religious, but whatever it is that you believe in, right? You have to, during the mental health reevaluation, you have to. Faith and certainty are not the same thing. If I knew every outcome, faith wouldn't exist. Sometimes faith sounds like I don't know what this relationship will become, but I trust myself enough to handle the truth whenever it arrives. That's powerful. Not I know they were meant for me. No, I don't. I trust myself to handle the truth. Maybe the truth is beautiful. Maybe it disappoints me. Either way, I have it. And there's another relationship trap. Trying to earn clarity by being more lovable. Don't be a pick me chick. And don't be a pick me guy. Let me do more. Let me be more understanding. Let me give more space. Let me text less. Let me text more. Let me become whatever this person wants me to be. No. Clarity belongs in communication, not performance, okay? You shouldn't have to audition for basic consistency. And if somebody's behavior has showed you that is activating anxiety inside of you, that is your answer right there. Maybe you have internal attachment wounds that you need to work on. Hello, did you hear what I just said? Sometimes the anxiety that you get is a lesson. It's happening because there's something inside of you that you have not healed yet, which is the lesson in it all. It don't mean nothing more than what you think it means. Don't mean nothing pertaining to this guy or this woman. It has everything to do with you. Mental health does not require blaming yourself or blaming them for everything. It requires seeing the whole picture, not in a subjective manner. What's mine? What's theirs? What can be communicated? What patterns exist? What decision protects me? That's maturity. Because the goal is not to become so healed that nothing affects you. The goal is to be healed enough that when something affects you, you know exactly what to do. I was talking to myself right there. The goal is not to become so healed that nothing affects you. The goal is to be healed enough that when something affects you, you know exactly what to do. That is so imperative, not just in relationships, but just in life overall. Because what's been easy for me, and I'm speaking for myself, what's been easy for me, mind you, I am a person who was surviving my whole life. Now I'm entering the stage of living, right? So a person who's in survivor mode, our mind frames operate a little bit differently than someone who's never had to worry about anything in their life. So when things are sent to me or if I feel a way, I detach. It's scary, for real. I detach. So quick in a hurry, you wouldn't even think that I felt what I felt. So much to the point where it starts making me question myself. Did I even really feel that? Because how am I able to just detach so easily? It's a defense mechanism. It's because whatever I thought I healed and I really didn't heal has came back up and now I have to deal with it. But I don't feel like dealing with it right now. So I'm going to be hard body and stand 10 toes and tell it the situation to go on about his business. That's not healthy. The goal is to be healed enough that when something affects you, you know exactly what to do. That's identifying. How am I feeling? All of these examples that I've been given, right? These are examples of what to do in that moment. Hey, let me stop myself in my tracks and understand what I'm feeling in this moment. So for self-accountability purposes, but also so that if there is a deep-rooted issue in me that still arises, I can go back and fix that. I can go back and work on that, not tuck it away and not deal with it. That's not healthy. So sometimes when things happen, especially in relationships, relationships are the perfect situation to remind you of things that you have or have not healed from. I promise you. Because as soon as you be like, man, I spent, and this is me, this is real talk. I spent 4 years single, right? Been single the past 4 years by choice. And it's really because I needed to sit with myself. I was engaged and I was married. I'm not a person that has to be with somebody. I don't have to. I'm okay with being by myself. Not forever, but I mean it enough to where I can understand me. So I took 4 years to say, hey, figure out Jazz at this age, right? What triggers you? What don't? Work on it so that when God sends the husband for you, you don't have to take out on him what somebody else did. Check yourself. And people be thinking it take 3-6 months. Man, no, it take years. I've been on this earth for 38 years. My trauma started at the age of 9. Really the age of 5. That means that I have 30 plus years of emotions and triggers to deal with. And somebody expect for me to deal or expect for you to deal with that in 2 to 3 months. That's not how that work. Sometimes you don't even know that something triggers you or that you're not healed from it until it presents itself again. These are things that we have to start paying attention to. We got to go to break. When we come back, I'm giving you the method for exactly that moment. The email arrives, that text that irritates you, when your child says something, when your friend disappoints you, when your partner triggers you, somebody at work pushes your button, right? Before you act, pause. 5 steps. P-A-U-S-E. And we are actually going to practice them together. Stay right there. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Ooh. 101.7 The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live in direct at the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, located at the beautiful heart of downtown Milwaukee. Hey, listen, Truth Nation, we've had an amazing conversation today about mental health. So I need you to do me a favor. Get your phone, get your notes app, get some paper, get your laptop, whatever it is. Remember this, pause. And we're not talking about the pause that you guys are used to, right? Because the most dangerous moment often isn't the situation. It's the 60 seconds after that situation. That is where we make critical decisions. That email hits, that tone hits, that text hit, that comment hit, and your body reacts before wisdom arrives. Your heart speeds up. You begin to get anxiety. You start feeling hot and tense. And now emotion says, do something. But I need you to do something. I need you to pause. P, pause. Don't answer immediately unless the situation genuinely requires immediate action. Just stop. Pause don't mean never address it. Pause means I am not giving my first emotional impulse control of this situation. Instead, say, hey, I need a moment. I want to think about what was said so I can retain it and then follow up. At work sometimes, let me review that and get back to you. That's a complete sentence. You do not have to respond in everything to everything in real time. You can say, hey, let me take a moment to review this and I'll get back to you. A, assess, ask, what actually happened? Not what did this remind me of, not what happened to me 5 years ago, not what happened right now. Sometimes our reaction is 10% today's event and 90% old pain. Someone doesn't respond and suddenly you are experiencing every abandonment you've ever felt in your entire life. Someone corrects you and suddenly you are reliving every time that you felt underestimated. You have to understand what you control. This might be the biggest one. Can you control whether they apologize? Absolutely not. Can you control whether they like you? Absolutely not. Can you control whether your ex finally understands? Now you know the answer to that. Absolutely hell to the no, no, no. But what you can control is your response. You can control your boundaries. You can control how you choose to document things going forward. You can ask questions to better clarify whatever is happening, right? You have a choice. S, set the appropriate response or boundary. Not every problem requires the same tool. Some things require silence. Some require conversation, some require distance, and some require documentation. Some requires forgiveness, and some requires professional intervention. Some requires therapy, and some requires a lawyer, depending on what your situation is, right? Some require you simply accepting that this person is not going to give me what I keep expecting from them. Pick and choose. Pick and choose how you respond. Wisdom is matching the response to the problem. You don't use a hammer for every repair. And we have to stop using cut them off as the hammer for every reactional situation. That's what I do. Ken Rue in the chat said, Jazz, when you are in a relationship, is it hard for you to open up your feelings? Honestly, I am a person who wears my emotion, my heart on my sleeve. I am purposely vulnerable because that is the path that God has laid for me. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that I choose to use my testimony as my trials and tribulations as testimony. When I'm in a relationship, to your point, Kiru, I don't mind being vulnerable, right? My goal and my purpose on this earth is to make sure that those who are listening or following or are around me can be inspired by the things that I went through, A, so that they don't go through it, but also so that they can find whatever their situation is inside of them. And what happens is in relationships, you become naturally vulnerable because you want your mate to understand you to your entirety. Here's where we go wrong. And I'm going to hold the ladies accountable for this. We go wrong when we start throwing stuff up in that man's face that he didn't told you and while he was being vulnerable. That's what make men not want to express themselves. Women, where we go wrong is we on a first date and we being completely vulnerable, telling him about everything we've been through with other men. And now guess what? He's going to play off of that vulnerability and use it against you and finesse you. So it's not a matter of, is it easy? Like if you're in a relationship with somebody and you have to question whether or not you can open up to them, you shouldn't be in a relationship with them. You should absolutely not be in a relationship with them whatsoever, because that means that you are not allowed to be vulnerable. That means that you don't trust them with your feelings, with your mind, with anything, right? Again, going back to the pause method, wisdom is matching the response to the problem. You don't use a hammer for every repair. And we have to stop using the cutoff as the hammer for every problem. That's me. That's me talking to myself. Because I'm going to block somebody quick, whether it's physically or not physically. Either way, whatever I need to do to protect my peace, I am. And that's not always the right answer. E, exit the mental replay. This is where many of us lose the battle. You paused, you accessed, you made the decision. Then 3 hours later, you're still replaying it in your head. No, after you've made that decision on what you're going to do, you have to practice exiting the mental courtroom. Stop retrying the case. You've already ruled. Court is adjourned. Everybody go home. Your brain is your honor. One more piece of evidence. No, it's over. And here's something you can actually say. There is nothing new to solve right now. That sentence is powerful for overthinking. There is nothing new to solve right now. Because if new information comes tomorrow, we'll deal with it tomorrow. We will deal with it tomorrow, period. I want to practice something with y'all, right? If you are somewhere safe, I want you to relax your shoulders, take a deep breath, and silently identify whatever has been disturbing your peace. Don't analyze it, just identify it. And once you identify it, ask yourself, what part of this is fact? Pause. What part am I assuming? Take a step back, pause. What part is actually within my control? Pause. Now say, I give myself permission not to solve everything today. I can only do what I can do today. The problems of yesterday, let me tell you something. Yesterday don't exist and tomorrow don't exist, which means that memories are not real. They are, but they aren't, because it's like it never happened. When you stuck on what has happened and you look up and you see that, guess what? Right now it's 6:38. 6:37 p.m. on August 25th, 2026 will never exist again. So why in the world will I be holding on to something that no longer exists? And then you worried about tomorrow, not even knowing if you're going to make it past today. Why in the world would I be worried about? Nope, not today. Nope, tell your brain. Nope, ain't no overthinking. I can only control what I can control right now. I can only take care of what I can take care of right now. That's the mental capacity I have. If you suffer from depression or anxiety, you ain't got up and cleaned your house one room at a time. All I got today is this room. That's all I can give. I don't have nothing else, but I can give this today. Apply that to every part of your life. Yesterday does not exist and tomorrow is not here yet. Neither exists, but this moment right now does. We got to learn how to take a step back. Take a step back. Stay in that moment to identify what you are feeling, because sometimes your feelings are not justifiable. Sometimes your feelings don't even matter, because what you feeling don't got nothing to do with what's going on at that moment. It has everything to do with what I said earlier. They talked to me, this man talked to me a certain way, and it triggered me to make me think about somebody that used to beat on me back in the day. I'm not talking about me. I'm giving an example.
What?
Oh, she cursed me out. She went behind my back and said this. Now it's triggering you to start thinking about, oh, when my best friend from the fifth grade did this something, this lawyer, well, now I don't trust nobody. Now you're harboring onto things that don't exist and taking it out on other people. You got to let it go. Nobody, you cannot expect people to tiptoe around your triggers. You cannot expect people. If I feel like what I say or do is going to trigger you, I'm not coming around you, because I'm not tiptoeing around your triggers. Period. I'm not going to do it. So you have to sit with that action, that confrontation, that time, observation, and surrender. Different situations require different responses. And that's the maturity piece, right? That's the maturity of peace. Peace isn't doing nothing. Peace is not allowing panic to choose you. Listen, Again, I'm not talking at y'all. I'm talking with y'all. I'm talking with myself as well. And I said it at the top of the show for those who are just now joining us. Some people have spirits inside of them. It could be your kids. It could be your mama, your daddy, your husband, your coworker, your student, whoever. Some people have spirits inside of them that they don't even know are there. And they are so, they don't have peace. So when they see you and they see the anointing and they see how peaceful you are and that your heart is pure, what's inside of them? It becomes agitated. And then they start antagonizing you because they are miserable on the inside. And it's not for you to compete on who's the most miserable. It's for you to say, hey, let me step back, pause, take a moment, analyze myself in this situation, and then analyze the entire picture. Because my peace matters the most. Coming back, this is our final big conversation, and I want to challenge the phrase, this was sent to destroy my peace. Because maybe everything difficult isn't some spiritual attack. Sometimes people are people. Sometimes life is life. So how do faith and mental health work together without blaming ourselves, blaming this evil entity, or pretending prayer means we never need professional help? That's coming up on this last segment. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. One-on-One-7 and Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. Listen. I want to close the main conversation with spirituality, because when difficult things happen, especially if you are a spiritually grounded person, sometimes our first response is, this was sent to destroy me. The enemy is busy. This is an attack, right? And I believe in spiritual warfare. I most definitely do, because I always say, you a fool to come up against this. I promise you, my anointing so cold, baby, let me tell you, that's why I have to work on my mouth. Because a lot of times I don't have to say nothing.
What do you mean by that?
I don't have to say anything. You know what, Meech? You know what, Meech? Meech over here cracking jokes. The reality is some people are just simply annoying. That's it. The devil didn't send nobody. They just have poor communication skills, right? Sometimes personalities clash. Sometimes people are insecure. Sometimes people are dealing with their own pain. Sometimes organizations are unhealthy. Sometimes relationships don't work. Sometimes friends disappoint us. And sometimes we are the difficult person in everybody else's story. That's humbling. It just simply means we all are human, right? This is why I'm able to give grace, even in the most heated moment. Even in the most heated moment, I am so grateful for the family that I have, for the neighbors who became family in my community, because those people taught me how to love my people. They taught me how to love my people so much that even when we don't agree, or even if, you know, hey, I still got love for you, because I understand what we have been through as people in general, right? And when you realize that, you begin to put your feelings to the side and realize that none of it matters. As long as I'm alive, breathing, and I can take care of my family, how somebody else feel don't matter, how they think don't matter. If the relationship work, it do. If it don't matter, right? It does not matter. And spiritually, we should, when you are a person who are walking a certain path, you have to hold yourself accountable and be, you have to have more self-awareness. Because you're held to a higher regard. So the things that I once have done before, I can no longer do because I'm held to a higher regard based off of my relationship with the Creator, right? When you know certain things, you can't unknow them. It's impossible. So I don't want faith to become a way of avoiding responsibilities, right? What I mean by that, I prayed about it. Okay, did you apologize? Match the action with the prayer, boo-boo. I gave it to God. Okay, did you document it? I know God will handle it. Okay, do you need to have a conversation about it too? Faith and action can coexist. Prayer and therapy can coexist. Prayer and boundaries can coexist. Prayer and HR can coexist. Prayer and slapping somebody. I'm just playing. I'm laughing. I'm thinking about that meme that said, I could slap you and then pray for you at the same time. No, but in all seriousness, people act like once you pray, you can't do nothing else. I'm just going to pray about it, and I'm just going to give it to God because that's all I can do. It's out of my hands. No. Prayer gives you wisdom, but it also, you should be receive some type of download or confirmation to take some action. And here's something I'm learning about peace. Sometimes we keep praying, God, remove this person. Maybe the prayer needs to become, God, remove the person or people who have control over my emotions. I don't even ask God to remove people no more because people eventually expose themselves and they eventually remove themselves. But again, if y'all like if y'all like that fake lifestyle, you better be careful. When you ask God to remove you, look up and ain't nobody around. You're going to start questioning everybody, including yourself, right? At the end of the day, you have to match action with faith. Maybe that situation is still going to arise at work tomorrow. Maybe they don't get the same reaction. Maybe your child has a difficult season, but you are learning patience. Maybe the relationship still has unanswered questions, but you are not abandoning yourself for answers. Maybe the friendship never repairs, but you can think about it without anger, right? That's growth. Not every victory looks like the problem is going to disappear. Sometimes victory looks like the problem remained and I became different, right? And I don't mean hardened. I don't mean that my heart is, that's actually a curse. For those who do read the Bible and they talk about hardening the Pharaoh's heart, that's a curse. If you can't feel love, you don't know the Creator. So it's never about being hard body or putting on this shell where it's like, I don't want to feel nothing. No, I'm grateful that I have feelings. It's some cold hearted people out here. I'm grateful that I can feel. That's important. Some people confuse healing with being cold. I don't care about nobody. That's not necessarily peace. Sometimes that's just armor. Real peace says, I can love you and have a boundary. I can forgive you and not trust you yet. I can miss you and know distance is healthier. I can respect my supervisor's position and still recognize inappropriate behavior. I can love my children and still need rest. I can love my children and still beat their ass too. Some of them need some whoopings out here, all right? Some of them do. I can be disappointed and remain hopeful. Those are emotionally mature combinations. Life isn't either or. And I want to give you another spiritual practice. When something is overwhelming, you ask, what is this season trying to reach me? What is this? What season am I in? Am I in a season of season, reason, lifetime? Which one of those seasons are you in? That's something you have to be mindful of. Everybody ain't meant to go. Every job ain't meant to go. Every person ain't meant to go. Every relationship is not meant to go. What season are you in? What season are you in? Are you in a season of people are around for just a season? Or are they around for a reason? Or are they around for a lifetime? Don't confuse the two. Don't confuse the two. When something is overwhelming you, again, ask, what is this season trying to teach me? Not in a way that blames you. Not everything bad happened because you needed a lesson. Bad things happen. People make choices. Systems can be unfair. Life can hurt. But since I'm here, what can I learn? Maybe I'm learning boundaries. Maybe I'm learning I don't need everybody's approval. Maybe I'm learning documentation. Maybe I'm learning patience. Maybe I'm learning how often I abandon myself trying to keep relationships. Maybe I'm learning that I confuse anxiety with intuition. Maybe I'm learning to ask questions instead of creating answers. That's delusional. Maybe I'm learning that being misunderstood doesn't destroy me. Maybe I'm learning that somebody else's position does not make them more valuable than me. Maybe I'm learning that strength without rest becomes exhaustion. Maybe I'm learning to receive help. Amen to that. Maybe I'm learning to stop over-explaining. Absolutely am. Maybe I'm learning to stop needing closure from the person who created the confusion and is. Maybe my closure is I don't want to feel like this anymore, and that's enough information. So here's the hard question I want to leave you with, Truth Nation. If the person disturbing your peace never changes, what are you going to change? And I need you to sit with that, because we spend so much time when she stops, when he finally understands, when my child gets older, when my friend apologizes, when management recognizes. So what changes? What if they don't? Do they get permanent control over your peace? What changes? Your access, your expectations, your communications. What's going to change? What is going to change? You have to ask yourself that, right? So tonight, go home. Say, God. Don't say, God, make them act right. Say, God, help me remain right even when everything and everyone around me isn't. Help me know when to speak. Help me know when to be quiet. Help me know when to stay. Help me know when to leave. Help me recognize what belongs to me and what never did. Protect your job. Protect your family. Protect your friendships. Protect your worth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Right. Thank you so much, Truth Nation. Truth Nation, please tap in with us tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. On the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. I love you guys. Have a safe and amazing evening. Peace.